Hi, everyone. This is Sean Wickersham. Thank you for listening to Leaders Direct, the official podcast of the Leaders Group. On today's Leaders Direct, we continue our Directors Council profile series with a discussion between Micah and Sal Palazzolo. Sal and his partners have been with the Leaders Group for a few years now, and since leaving a carrier BD, they've built out an impressive financial planning business that incorporates not only securities and managed money, but also life, P&C, and health insurance. While a client may come to his office to meet with his P&C partner, they've created a strong in-office referral network to help clients address all of their financial needs. Keep listening to hear more about Sal's business.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining our Directors Council podcast call with Sal Palazzolo. Sal got his start in the business in 1996 and joined the Leaders Group in February of 2013. And he has been a consistent member of the President's Club since then and multiple-time Directors Council member. Sal's also been a winner of the Five-Star Wealth Manager Award every year since 2013, and we're lucky to have him on the call today. So thank you, Sal, for taking the time to share with us today.
Thanks, Micah, for the invite. I really appreciate it.
First, I wanted to get started off with a little bit about yourself and how you got your start in the business.
Okay. I started in 1996. When I graduated college, I actually had a small little practice doing income tax returns and immigration work. And right next door to me, there was a big name box office. I won't say the name, but I would refer clients over to say, you need to open up an IRA, put some money away, and this will reduce your tax consequences. Well, that advisor would come in and say, oh, I made, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. And I'm making $140 to do someone's income tax return. This didn't make sense. So I talked to him a little bit. And then I actually then went and talked to a recruiter at the other company, passed their test, and I started there shortly thereafter. So when I was working there, it was basically a life insurance company. And it was a good company. It still is a good company. But the first couple of years, you go through your cycles of ups and downs. I love this business, hate this business. And, I was taught that the first couple of years is going to be extremely, extremely difficult. But then at that point, it should start rolling. But I actually won the what they call the go-getter award at the other box agency. And realized that if you sell life insurance, you have to start that calendar all over again. You're a hamster on a treadmill every year. And I didn't really like that process. So I started reaching out to some of the other big hitters in our office and asked them what they wanted to do. And I started learning different processes of how to sell investments and group health. And I just started going down a couple of those different avenues. But that's how I started. It was in 96, and it was a learning experience in the very beginning as to what pays more, what pays less, how to get a client. It's a fun, challenging time, but I don't miss them, I'll tell you that.
Right. All right. Well, and then once you were in the business and you kind of had it up and running and you had figured out, what you were going to do, you have an extremely successful operation today that covers a lot of different product lines. How did you go about building that practice from the point where you decided on what all you were going to do to where you are today?
Part of it was due to a disagreement that I had with my district manager at the time. I was 25 years old. I rolled over a $2.5 million account. I'm on cloud nine. I'm like all happy. I've got a big account. And I sent in all the paperwork and the company they lost it three times. When they finally did have it, they mismatched the profit sharing plan with the money purchase plan. It was a disaster. So I kept asking for assistance, wasn't getting anything for 3 months. Finally, the client just said, you know what, enough. We're going to leave the money at Dean Witter and leave it at that. So at our Monday morning meetings that we would have as a rookie, I let my manager know I was extremely upset that I was not going to sell any more life insurance policies for the company anymore. And that point, he told my manager, cut Sal off, don't give him any more help. let him do whatever he wants to do. But we won't pay in his unemployment compensation, but we just want him gone. So now that the I guess you want to call it the chain or the ball, or whatever, they was released, I went to back to talk to some of the heavy hitters, and they told me to start selling group health benefits. At that time, it counted for my contract continuation, and a manager received very little compensation on that, but yet I would then receive recurring income. So in my second year, I started selling group health benefits. So fast forward 20-some years later, and I know we'll talk about other parts of it, but through my selling and mergers and acquisitions and some other purchases, you know, we now have over 400 groups that we maintain. So once I started selling those group plans, it was actually natural then to go in to talk to the business owners about IRAs and financial planning and key man insurance. So it was a nice segue that it got me into the door, because every employer wanted to save on their premiums for their employees. But it developed a nice trust that the employer knew that I was working for him. And then after that, then I went to get my RIA designation and started, you know, doing a financial plan for the business owner. So it was a nice segue into it.
Okay. And on that, how did you end up splitting that out in terms of what do you tend to focus most on now? And then what other team members do you have in play? And do they focus on everything else?
At the beginning, I was starving. So I took everything. I didn't turn anybody away. I took everything. My marketing practices to get a client, it's a little strange. And I did it by accident. You were able to pull up wedding registries. You would be able to pull up, you know, I found it by accident. My cousin was getting married. I went to go get her a gift, and I pulled up her last name, and, you know, 50 people came up. They teach you the financial planning is marriage, baby, moving a house. And so I went back and I started with A, and I pulled up everybody who was getting married with the last name of A, and then I went to B. By the time I walked out, I had 300-400 leads. And I would send them a congratulations card with my business card in there and something along the line, this is not a time to start planning. So I had two avenues going at the same time. I had the group health going on, and then I started segueing more into the financial planning. Today, I still do both. Group health is pretty boring. A deductible is a deductible, an out-of-pocket is an out-of-pocket, and a copay is a copay. There's really nothing to change with that. So once you know that, it's you know that part of the business. I refer myself to as a, you have an attorney and you have a CPA. One, they kind of know both. So that's what I kind of am myself. I know the investment side of it and financial planning. I also know the group health benefits. So I kind of grew up with my clients. They were having babies and getting married in their early 20s and 30s. Now they're all in their 40s and 50s. I rolled over their assets, did their financial planning. They gave me referrals to their parents. And then as their grandparents were getting older, they were giving money back to the parents, and I was rolling that over. And that's where I'm at now, is I don't do any cold calling. It's all referral based. So it's interesting that, you know, I grew up with the business, with the clients. Now that the parents are now starting to pass away, it's going back to the kids that were the original source. And now they're having kids themselves, and they're all going off to college now. And I'm starting to do some planning with some of them. You know, they're getting jobs. I tell them to start a 401k plan. So it's multi-generational planning. At the same time, I'm still doing a group health. I'm not sure if that answered the question, if I maybe went into something different.
Yeah, no, that answers the question. Do you have other people in your office that take, you know, the home and auto or property and casualty, or do most of the group health?
Right. So what happens is there's about, 10 or 11 brokers, and then we have 6 customer service representatives. So I do the investment side. Phil is separate from us, but he's still in our office. He does the investments. I do group, and then that's where I stop. John Curry in my office does the group health benefits. Tom Zanoni does property and casualty. Laura Vernicell is a customer service representative, but is also in sales. We have Bob Mills that does group health. John does all of our long-term, John Schneider does all of our Medicare and individual insurance policies, and he does some property and casualty also. And then our service staff, each one is designated into a certain section. Dolores has been with me for a good 17 years. She's my right-arm person. She's going down to 3 days. I'm going to miss her. She does purely just investments, and that is it. Megan has been with me about 10 years. She does group and we're transitioning her into benefits. Michelle, strictly benefits. Laura, strictly benefits. Michael Alrod, strictly benefits. So that's how we have it structured out. Everybody fits in their lane. They concentrate in their lane. If there's a referral from a property and casualty or a group, that comes over to one of the three of us, and it's likewise. If there's something from the group that they need property and casualty, business owners, that goes over to Tom and Laura. So we kind of feed each other business, and it just keeps expanding out. So it's been a good time.
Good. And the next thing I wanted to ask about was in terms of what your business looks like today, with you doing a lot of the investment advisory type of stuff, are there any third-party money managers that you tend to prefer other than others?
So when I first came over, I was using InvestNet, and they're fine. I mean, it's what I had in the beginning, but I like the Mariner account and the money manager. During the crisis that we had in March, he reached out via conference calls and emails and letters, and he had mailings that we can send out to our clients. So, which is phenomenal, because at a time when the market's dropping 20, 30 points, people just want to know some information. You got to hold their hand a little bit, which we all know. And so I like what they did. And they didn't wait till the end of the quarter to rebalance. They actually called and said, we have your client XYZ. They're at a 60-40 mix, 70-30 mix. We think it's a good time to rebalance bonds into equities. Can you confirm with your client if that's okay? And that's what we did. So I would reach out via Zoom meetings, talk to the client. This is our thought process. And we did it. We didn't wait to the end of the quarter to rebalance. They actually took, market dropped several times in March, and several times we took money out of bonds and moved it into equities. So I really appreciated that portion of it. And then SEI is another money manager that I like because it's pretty turnkey. You send in, they send you an illustration, print up the paperwork, the core tactical management portfolios they have, the tax harvesting. So those are probably my two favorite money management platforms.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask about, Sal, was now when building your business, did technology play an important part in that?
It did, but not until later. I mean, we used a software program that I had at the other wirehouse, and I carried that over to the new, when I left, I carried that over. It's called InsGift. It's a phenomenal financial planning software that I've used now for almost 15, 20 years. So it's what I've been using. On the property and casualty side, we use a software called Vertafore. And it's phenomenal. Claims you can put in there, commissions can get put in there. I can assign XYZ to, let's call it Tom. This is your case. The commission gets 35% of his property and casualty case. I know, and it spits out once a month. Here's his commissions, and I just write out a check, or we call it into our payroll company. And then on the group side, we use two. We use a company called Zywave that does all of the backroom legislative briefs, websites, the hidden paycheck reports that we want to give out to our clients, booklets, and it also does our drip marketing. So we have two software programs for health, one for property and casualty, and then one for InsGift. But actually, I should say I have two. I also use the Leaders Group Advisor for my smaller cases. For my larger cases, I use InsGift. So those are the four programs that we use as far as technology.
And last question is, what advice would you give somebody that's either new to the independent space? So if you could think back on leaving the previous broker-dealer, coming to the Leaders Group, going from a insurance carrier broker-dealer to an independent broker-dealer, or somebody that's earlier in their career?
So it's almost like three questions. When I first started, let's break it down segue. When I first started, I regret not taking trails immediately. Instead, I had to eat, and everybody has to make their own decision. you know, you've got a mortgage to pay, you got gas bills, insurance. I regret not taking the trails on those clients, because now 25, 26 years later, they're still my client and I'm not making any money on them. And I still see them twice a year. I still do the reviews. Now, they have been great clients and they're phenomenal. And the plan is the plan and the product is the product. It doesn't, you know, that doesn't change. It was just a way that we end up getting paid. So I regret not taking trails earlier. I really didn't start taking trails on our my book of business probably until after I left and came over to Leaders Group. And so I regret that portion of it. But so I would, any new person, I would probably say, if you can do a trail versus an immediate lump sum over a 7-year period, I think the break even point, I think is in the 5th or 6th year. I'd have to look at my notes. But then the 7th, 8th, or 9th, that's all profit at that point. And it just keeps building on each other. So now, you know, I take all trails. I put an annuity, I put a trail. Manage money, it's a fee. So it just continues growing. At age 65, 70, versus having just assets with no management to sell, I'll have assets and a trail to sell. So I'm looking at a 20-year, 30-year plan where I can have both. I want an asset and I want the trail so I can sell both of those off. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. And I think it answers it for both spaces. Somebody who's, you know, coming into the independent space, if they haven't been doing that at the carrier that they're with, or somebody early in their career. So I think that covered it perfectly. And that was all I had for today on the call. I wanted to thank you again for taking the time and sharing your story and your advice with us. And thank you very much. Appreciate it, Sal.
No problem. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the time. You know what? A little plug for Leaders Group. And I know you didn't request this, but working with Leaders Group has been an absolute joy from where I came from. I came from an industry or where it was life insurance dominated. And is why are you doing business with us versus a partnership where if I need a question answered, there's always someone to answer it. I send an email. Yeah, you guys don't get back, you know, within 15 seconds. And I not expect that. But, you know, I always get an answer, at least within a couple hours or the next day. And that's phenomenal from where I came from. I would get an answer 3 months later. By that time, the client is gone. So it's a joy working with Leaders Group. It has been. Been a pleasure, my honor.
Well, we appreciate that, and we also appreciate everything that you do for us. We know without the advisors, we wouldn't all have our job. So thank you for everything you do out there in the field, and we appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Have a good one, Sal.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.